Welcome to the Heartbreak Kids Podcast, where we explore what connects us all in our yoga practice and in our lives. This is where I talk to people about their stories, who they are, what they've been through, and where they're going. And in this podcast, that's what we explore. I believe deep down inside, we're all connected, which explains why we bring ourselves to the top of our mat every day. Welcome to the Heartbreak Kids. So welcome to the next edition of the Heartbreak Kids. I'm here with Michaela Roberts, and Michaela was really one of my first yoga students ever. She's played a big part in my life. She's a friend of mine, and I've got to see her really do all of these changes right in front of me, you know, from being in Columbus to moving to New York to doing big things in LA. I'm having her on the show today to talk a little bit about like where she's going with her life and what she's doing, because I think it's really exciting. And so, Michaela, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So let's give the audience a little bit of backstory. Maybe a little bit about like your yoga experience and who you were like growing up, and then let's talk about how me and you kind of came to know one another too.
Great. Yeah, I grew up in Akron, Ohio. I always say that I don't remember a time as a kid where I didn't know for sure that I wanted to move away. So moving and living in different places has always been something that was important to me. I always felt that need to kind of get out and do different things. I grew up dancing, so I was a ballet dancer for all of my upbringing through college. And then while I was in college, kind of found yoga as a way to stay active and keep my body moving, but in a different way besides dance, because my body was starting to hurt from so much ballet for so many years and nothing else. I was really imbalanced. So I found yoga as a way to stay active and stay healthy while doing something a little different that was going to help balance out my body a little bit. Like when I first came to yoga, standing on one leg in a parallel position was like super difficult for me.
Because you don't do that when you're in
ballet. Yeah, I was just a little lopsided.
I mean, you walked in, you were pretty good at it too.
I'm flexible, and I always had a lot of body awareness from being a dancer, so I could kind of adapt to a lot of different situations and maybe look like I was better at something than I maybe actually was if you really dug down and demanded a little bit more of me, which your classes definitely did. So
So what kind of kid were you in high school, like, or and also maybe college? Like, were you a book nerd, or were you a band person, or were you just like did you just do the whole ballet thing?
Yeah, you know, so home was a tricky place for me. Love my parents, but home life was not as like comfortable, let's say. And so social life was really important to me in high school and college. Like I was looking for my people. I was looking for that sense of belonging and just being around people that I felt aligned with and comfortable with and that were like more along the wavelength of what I was thinking, which, you know, I was just a little bit different from my family. So that stuff was really important. I was kind of naturally smart. I was one of those annoying kids who could do fairly well without trying too hard school-wise. And I was dancing.
Didn't have that type.
I was dancing a lot. I was a cheerleader in high school. I ran with kind of the quote unquote popular crowd, but I never felt like I really fit in there. I was always just a little bit weird, to be honest. Yeah. Like the oldest friends I have are friends that I met in college. And there's just a couple of them that I've stayed in touch with. And then most of my close friends, I didn't meet until I was 25, 26.
Yeah.
So I was really searching a lot.
Yeah. Searching for people or searching for like the place where you fit in, or?
Yeah, both. I mean, just looking for, I knew that the kind of way things were done and the way that I was brought up didn't feel right to me. But when you're a kid, you don't know anything different. So I was just looking for something that felt more right for me. I was looking for people. I spent a lot of time in like the early days of TED Talks, like when TED Talks were new. I spent tons of time watching TED Talks and watching stuff on YouTube, just trying to connect with these ideas that people were putting out. And it was just so, it was a really important part of me expanding my horizons. I think a lot of kids get that from also like music.
Yeah, you know, of course. I got that from music too.
Yeah. You like connect to that thing and it's like, oh my God, this is so different from anything anyone's ever told me before, or different from these types of people I've always been around. You know, you can live life differently. So that was most of my focus in high school and college, was just trying to find that.
Yeah. And it sounds like you really kind of expanded in a lot of areas. I mean, you know, obviously moving to Columbus is a huge thing too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't even care about Ohio State. I just knew that I knew I couldn't afford to go out of state, so if I was going to stay in Ohio, I wanted to go to the best city I could. And so I picked Ohio State because it was in Columbus.
All right. I'll cut that part out of the podcast.
Why?
I mean, I'm an Ohio State fan. Like, you know, you gotta.
Oh, I see. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. That's a really important part. Ohio State matters. All right.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. and so how did you end up walking into my yoga class?
How did I end up? Well, I lived like a couple blocks away from that studio, and the way that the studio presented its offerings was really that there was the Hatha track and then the Ashtanga track. That was the way that it was marketed. And when I went in and talked to the person at the front desk, they were like, well, you know, they described Ashtanga as being more, a little more athletic, more rigorous, a little more challenging, all of that. And I was like, that's the one, that's what I want. And so I went to a couple of like the evening classes with different teachers, but I love morning time, and I was really drawn to the consistency of Mysore. So I think that's why I started coming in the morning.
Yeah. And so, you know, early on when you, like basically when you walked in the door, you know, it seemed like you really kind of grabbed a hold of it. Like you made it an important part of your life. I mean, does it still play an important part of your life, or does it even that time play an important part?
You mean the time of day or that time of my life?
That time of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of things were happening around the time that I started coming to Mysore. I had just started working at Lululemon, which was a huge shift for me. That was like a big chapter in my life working there. I was in like a steady, stable relationship for the first time in a long time. And yeah, it was just kind of the perfect storm. I was looking for consistency. I was looking for health. I was looking to clean my life up a little bit. And I don't know. I just really thrive on repetition. I thrive on challenge. And the way that you were teaching was, you know, you were the first person to talk to me about a practice that I was doing with my body, and the fact that it was more about what it was teaching me or who it was making me into as a person than it was about the actual movement. That was something I really needed. Yeah.
Yeah, those are huge lessons. I mean, I noticed today, even more so than when you were practicing with me, that it's actually more about the lessons that we're learning instead of about the postures that we're learning.
Totally. I remember, I don't even know what pose it was, but I was struggling really hard with the pose, and I was getting so frustrated because I was such a perfectionist. I was not used to, you know, looking like I didn't know what I was doing or failing at something. And I was so frustrated, and I was like crouched down on my mat. And I remember you walked up to me and knelt down beside me, and you just looked at me really quietly, and you said, "It's not about the pose." And that moment like changed my perspective on my practice forever.
Yeah. Yeah. And you also did a teacher training too, right?
I mean, I did.
And you, like when you moved to New York, like, I mean, you took this Ashtanga base that you had, mm-hmm. and you kind of shift gears because you were going to be a yoga teacher, right?
Yeah, totally. I'd always wanted to move to New York, but never really found the right time or motivation. And then I was looking for a teacher training. Nothing that I was finding locally was really lighting my fire. There wasn't like a clear pathway to be certified as an Ashtanga teacher that didn't require just years of travel. And I was just looking for something a little more condensed. And so I stumbled upon this woman, Kelly Morris, who she was talking about things online in a way that, you know, she was talking about integrity in yoga teachers and the importance of things like meditation and mindfulness and just really having your own ducks in a row if you're going to walk into a room and teach other people. And I was really attracted to that. And so I signed up for her teacher training and it was based in New York. So I moved to basically to do her training.
Yeah. And it all worked out with Lululemon too, right?
Yeah, big time. I mean, Lululemon was, you know, I transferred by the time I left, I think I had worked in like 8 different stores in different cities. So Lululemon was just incredible in terms of supporting the geographic moves that I wanted to make by being willing to work with me and willing to place me in these different places that I wanted to go.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing just to kind of like sit back and kind of watch it unfold.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I actually knew that you moved there for the teacher training. I actually thought that maybe you were moving there because of the job that you got. For some reason, I don't remember that part.
Yeah. I mean, growing up, I had always loved the images of New York that I saw in TV and movies and stuff when I was dancing. I thought, oh, I'll go dance in New York one day. And then in college, I studied fashion and I thought, oh, I'll go to New York and do fashion. And so New York was always kind of in the back of my mind, but I had really let it go because I was like, it's expensive. It's a lot of work. Why am I doing that? I don't need to be in a certain city to make myself feel good or feel like who I want to be or whatever. Like I can just live my life here. And then I started looking for a teacher training and the only one that I found that I was really drawn to was Kelly's and it was based in New York. I was like, okay, I guess it's happening after all.
It's funny how the universe plays a big part in everything. Yeah. Right? Yeah, it all kind of works out. Mm-hmm. You know, it's crazy because during that period of time, you know, like I was helping you in the yoga room and maybe teaching you some lessons, but you were also teaching me, you know, and one of the most impactful things that you've ever done for me is not only to tell me to share my story, but also to write down goals and a vision for what my life looked like. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because right now, Michaela, like we're putting together a course, online course, and one of the sheet that we filled out basically together was on my computer. Mm-hmm. And started this whole kind of like process of like kind of going back through all of the things. And you know, because you were like kind of a catalyst for me. Mm-hmm. Because I put the goals down and we did that together and we put a date. And I remember you just kind of like motivating me to do this because I had never done it before. Like I had goals, they were in my head or whatever, but they never were written down. And when I'm looking at the sheet, and this is just a few weeks ago, I literally have accomplished every single one of the things on there. And my wife was reading them and she's like, you've done all of these things. She's like, you need to make a new one. I was like, you're right. I do need to make a new one. And there was like some really big things like writing a book and you helped me with that. And like, you know, Lululemon helped me with that. It was pretty amazing. But, and the reason why I bring this up is because like you've made a huge shift from Lululemon to, you know, actually doing what you did for me for other people, mm-hmm. you know? So how did that even come, you know, into fruition?
So early on in my time at Lululemon, what actually happened, first of all, Lululemon has a really unique culture. It has a special culture that is based really strongly in vision and goal setting. That's something that was really important to every single person on the team, really important to our business model, really, is walking people through having a vision and goals for their life. And there was a a woman at my store who was kind of in charge of making sure everyone had vision goals. And then she left. And so there was just this space to fill. And I was looking to get promoted. So I was like, okay, I'll do it, you know? And so I started leading vision and goal sessions completely on accident. And as I started to do it, I started to realize, number one, that I loved it. Like, I had a lot of fun with it and I felt really strong at it. I would walk into a session feeling tired, worn out from the day, whatever. And then I'd walk somebody through vision and goals. And at the end, I would be so alive. And other people were also having really powerful experiences with me leading them and facilitating them through it. So I had kind of a knack for it. So that was how it started. And that's how I started to realize that I had this, that really my passion and my talents lied in personal development and developing people. Over the years at Lululemon, I was there for 8 years. Being a coach for my people on my team, having those development conversations, having conversations where there might be something happening and, you know, we're seeing something in somebody's performance and that's a symptom, and then having the conversations that lead back to the cause of what's happening, really root causes, that all of that was what I was doing day in and day out at my job. So it was years and years of that, and started to get to a point where I was good enough at it and confident enough about it. And I was really starting to integrate a lot of it and integrate what I was learning through that work with other things I was learning, like in my yoga practice or in things that I was reading or whatnot. And so it got to the point where I didn't fit as well into the Lululemon template anymore. And that's when I knew it's like, okay, it's time to do this on my own. I was just starting to have strong enough ideas and strong enough feelings about it that I like could not do it somebody else's way anymore. You know?
Yeah. Were you one of the, like, kind of the people that developed it on your team, or was it like a system that you already had that you were kind of fitting into that didn't work for you anymore?
There was a system that we had. The system was a lot clearer and stronger early on. I mean, Lululemon grew massively in the time that I was there. So when I first started, it felt really more like a small business and felt very different by the time I left. I was given a lot of tools and kind of a framework to work within. And then on top of that, you know, we were also functioning within the context of this retail business. And that was that, you know, I had to be responsible to that as well. So I was kind of finding, I was like, I want to spend all of my 40 hours in a week just working with people. And there were a lot of other things that were expected of me that just started to feel heavy because I knew what I wanted to be doing, really, you know?
Yeah, of course. Was I one of the first people that you helped?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah. I was very experimental stage at that point.
Yeah. Well, I remember just like, you know, kind of having the same energizing feeling is what you just described there. You know, like coming off of it, I was like, I'm going to do all of this shit. I'm going to do it all. Like, this is going to happen.
There's a magic to it because, and you know, I think personal development and kind of the self-help world has expanded a lot since you and I had that first conversation. And I think people are more familiar with it now, but very frequently people have never been asked before, you know, what do you want for yourself? How are you going to get there? What's your plan? You know, what's really important to you? Nobody asks people these questions most of the time, you know? So the first time somebody starts to dig in with you in that way, it is a game changer. You know, it's like, you can't go back to not knowing those things about yourself once you've said them out loud.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. That's how I felt about it too. It was like almost like this exposure, like I felt exposed. Mm-hmm. But also like in a good way where it was like, oh yeah, that's what I really wanted anyways. And I'm not really a fearful person. And so I'm going to do that, you know, that stuff I wrote down, like I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Why do you think you had a natural knack for it? Like, I mean, part of your upbringing, part of your college, part of Lululemon, or what do you think the natural knack came from?
Well, I think that on the most fundamental level, the greatest skill that I bring to that work is listening. So when I listen to someone, I seem to be able to hear things in what they're sharing that other people wouldn't have connected those dots, or I can hear what people aren't saying and I'll ask them to go there. So I think that listening is the thing that I'm most special at. That comes definitely from my upbringing. My mom's a really empathetic person. I had aunts who were come from a very emotional family. So, when I interact with people as adults who they're like, oh, my family, like, so conflict averse, we never fought, like, blah, blah, blah. That is so foreign to me. My family was very emotional, always talking about our feelings. And yeah, just empathetic people around. And so I think I got that from my family. I think it's just part of my nature. And then also, like I said earlier, feeling kind of like a weirdo a lot of the time, feeling like I didn't fit in perfectly a lot of the time. I think I got good at observing and listening and watching others.
Yeah, that's a huge skill for someone who's doing the work that you're doing. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and it kind of feels weird to say it like that because you wouldn't, I mean, great listening skills isn't necessarily something people list on their resume, you know, but it really is so fundamental to being able, I think being a yoga teacher too, it's so fundamental to being able to work with people and help people grow.
Totally. I mean, I feel like listening and observing is, and I feel like those are kind of the same things, mm-hmm. You know, when it deals with like yoga teachers and also all the stuff that you're talking about, because I'm watching what everyone's doing and I'm also like listening to how they're saying things and, you know, like mm-hmm. how they're going back to those stories or any of that kind of stuff. Cause that's how you empower people is mm-hmm. by really listening to them and observing what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah, I think that like, mm-hmm. I think it kind of speaks to that idea of just mindfulness, right? Where we have, you know, something happens, we have the stimulus, and then we have our sensory perception of it, and then we interpret it, and then we have our stories about it, and then we have our judgments about it, and all those different layers kind of get compressed together, and we think that it's all just one moment of experience, and then you start to practice, you start to understand that these are all separate layers, that you can kind of deal with each one of them somewhat individually. And I think that's what, when we say listening or observing, I think that's really what we're talking about. Because if you take somebody's stack that they're giving you, then you don't have any more information for them than what they already have themselves. But if you can pull apart the layers for them, then that can show them something new. So yeah. I think it's, you know, it's yoga, it's mindfulness, it's all of it wrapped into one.
Totally. You know, one of the powerful things that we did recently when you came to Columbus to do a workshop was really talk about, you know, people's values and mm-hmm. like how that plays a huge part in, you know, like really kind of determining where you're going and yeah. like the filter that you run it through. And so is that something that you normally do as well? I mean, is that part of the process of like, you know, helping people find the vision and goals for people?
Yeah. I mean, I think if I only have 1 hour with somebody and I am not sure if I'm ever going to see them again, then vision and goals are like I think that's probably like you said, it's the biggest catalyst that you can give people. But if I'm working with somebody consistently ongoing, or like we did in a workshop setting, then values is hugely important. Because values are, I always explain it as your values are the things that you're not willing to violate in order to reach your goals. So there's a hierarchy of all this stuff, and you can't be compromising your values to reach the goal that you've set. If there's a conflict, then the thing that adjusts is the goal, not the value. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. That makes sense.
Yeah. So it's super important, especially for really driven and ambitious people who like, once they set a goal, they want to go get it. And it's like, yeah, but once you've achieved it, you also need to be able to look yourself in the mirror and be proud of who you are and what you've done. You need to not want to have a bunch of stuff, you know, a bunch of skeletons in your closet because of how you reach success. So the values are super important for keeping you anchored in really what's important to you and really why it all matters.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hearing you talk, I mean, you're an expert at this stuff. I mean, I can hear it. And it's funny because, you know, like we call you Big Michaela. We still call you Big Michaela.
That's so sweet.
My daughter saw your picture and she's like, oh, that's Big Michaela. And I was like, how do you remember that? But, you know, like seeing you go from one step to the, you know, obviously, you know, taking it up a few notches, has been pretty amazing to kind of witness for sure. And so what do you think is the most important thing for our listeners to know about vision, goals, and understanding like how to find their passion and their purpose?
Wow. I mean, there's so much I could say. I think two things. The first thing is that it's important. Do it. Don't skip out on the time to reflect and assess and really think about what you want for yourself, for your life, for your future. Just massively important. So if you're thinking of it now as like a nice to have or kind of a, you know, cherry on the sundae, it's not. It's the vegetables more so.
It's the broccoli.
You know, and then the second thing is that, you know, it's a creative and dynamic and ongoing process. I think a lot of times people shy away from this type of work because they are afraid that once they write down a goal, well, what if they find out that they can't do it? What if they decide that they don't want to do it anymore, that they want to change their minds? What if? And you know, my vision and goals, the way I interact with my vision and goals is that they're always in draft. They're always up for reconsideration. That requires a level of like self-discipline to not let yourself off the hook just because you like don't wanna. But if you know, want to change your mind about something, you can. It's always in draft. And I think that that way of engaging with vision and goals with a more creative mindset and a more fluid mindset is where it really starts to become this super meaningful part of your life, because otherwise it just becomes another checklist that, you know, gets forgotten in the back of a notebook.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely felt the creative part, but like once I got it down on the, like a piece of paper, what I realized is that I really wanted to check the damn things off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you are a uniquely focused person, Taylor. Not everyone has that level of clarity and focus right off the bat. But yeah, I mean, there is a level of like, we're human beings and we like to cross the things off once we've written them down for sure. That's part of why you write goals, is because it gets your brain on board with the things that you really want.
Where does someone start? I mean, I feel like the process is so daunting. You know, and also scares people because of some of the things that you just mentioned. You know, like, where do people even start? Like, how, like, you know,
I think it
just seems really big, you know?
Yeah, it is. I mean, one tactic is to zoom out so far. So don't think about this year. Don't think about the next 5 years. Think like 10, 20 years down the road and start to imagine what you might want for yourself in that time frame. Sometimes thinking really long term can remove some of the obstacles that you feel in your day-to-day life. It can lighten the load a little bit so you can actually be free to imagine. On the opposite end, something that people could do, if even that feels like, no, I can't even think that far down the road, is to focus just on the day. You know, if it's hard to come up with a vision and goals that you want for a year, what's your vision for your day? And what are your goals for today? So either going really, really short term, like super zoomed in, or zooming out really far into the super long term, playing those extremities can help you become familiar with the process in a way that's a little more comfortable. And then you can start to apply it in different ways.
Yeah, that's really good feedback.
It's helpful because it is. It's like, where do you start? You know? It's tough.
Yeah. Well, I feel like, I feel like people work for their check, you know? And so, and then they're working for the stuff that they get. Mm-hmm. And this is really, I mean, for me, it was like talking about bigger and different things, you know, like it was talking about like expanding in all of the areas that I never really knew or kind of thought I could go there. Mm-hmm. And so, but I mean, it's a very interesting process to go through it, because I mean, even though like I have accomplished a lot of the goals, I mean, it's still scary to even write them down.
Yeah, I mean, it's always vulnerable. It never stops feeling vulnerable. You just get more accustomed to the experience of, like you said, being exposed. Yeah. Being exposed to yourself sometimes is the hardest, you know? So,
tell me about it.
Yeah.
Like to actually have a true reflection in the mirror of like, this is who I am. Yep. And this is what I want to do. That's scary business, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think the other thing I would say is like your goals were and still are very much about your contribution and your service and this mission that you have and the work that you're doing and really expanding that. And that's a lot of people's goals look that way. But also a lot of people's goals are really focused on their families or their homes or their, you know, neighborhood, their smaller communities. It's like, I think sometimes the way goal setting is marketed is like, you're going to become this big, bad, like billionaire by setting goals. And if that's not what somebody wants or what somebody connects to, then they just figure that they don't need to set goals. And visions and goals that we sometimes think of as quote unquote small are actually not small at all, because we all have a ripple effect. So if what you feel called to focus on is just you, your life, your family, your little corner of the world, then that's perfect. And that should be taken just as seriously and with just as much intention as someone like a Taylor Hunt who's trying to really spread a message.
Yeah. I always struggled with vision too. Is that something like, you know, I always knew these things I wanted to do, mm-hmm. but I always struggled with like a vision for what I wanted my life to look like. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that something that people struggle with as well?
Yeah. I think people,
or is that just common to me?
No, I think people usually tend toward one or the other. So vision is really easy for me. It's harder for me to, you know, I have to spend more effort to get the goals down really specific. So I think a lot of people favor one or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think is one of the greatest lessons that you've kind of gotten from people that you're working with?
I mean, first of all, just that people are incredible. Like I meet people who are, you know, doing such different things and they're living in different cities and they're all so different, but when I speak with them and work with them, I'm just blown away by how smart people are and how like people have such good hearts, you know? So I just, that's the first thing that I learn is like people are incredible and everybody deserves the opportunity to really grow and develop and become the person that they are on the inside. So that's one big thing. I think the other thing is just how unique the pathway is for all of us, you know? I think that templates and structures are really useful. They're great tools, but it's important to never mistake the tool for the work you're trying to do, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Like the tool is the thing that helps you do what you're trying to do, but it's not the thing itself. So, yeah, we're all just so unique and we all need to come at things from the angles that are going to actually work for us rather than like wasting time and energy badgering ourselves into a kind of way of doing it that just doesn't fit. Does that make
sense?
What
do you think about, you know, like, I mean, I think it totally makes sense. Like, I'm jiving with all of it. Like it totally makes sense to me. What do you think about like someone who wants to kind of start with smaller things or start with just like family goals and stuff like mm-hmm. that? I mean, yeah, I know that the perception is that, you know, you're going to be a billionaire. It's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a startup, but like, everyone's path's unique, like what you said, but like, and the reason why I'm asking this is because I've never really had small things on there. You know, I've never really had family things on there. Like family was just like sort of a part of what it is. or part of, you know, this is all just part of me, and family just happens instead of there being goals around it. I don't even know what family goals would look like, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, I think that for a lot of people who are really focused on their family, especially if they have kids, I think that people can get really locked into an idea of, well, this is just what life has to look like right now because we have these kids, we're kind of overwhelmed, we're stretched for time, we don't, you know, like there's a lot of constriction that happens sometimes. And so I think what's important for people in that scenario is just to, you know, let yourself dream about what would be like, wouldn't it be awesome if, and kind of run with that and see what you can make possible. A lot of the times people, if they don't know how to solve something or, you know, make something happen, they'll shut themselves off from even admitting that they want it versus saying, this is what I would like. And let's get really creative and look at it from every angle that we can possibly think of to see what could bring that into reality. So being able to sit with the question and the desire before you have it all figured out, I think is really important. I think it's important for, you know, people focused on their family, people with kids. And then like, I mean, examples of family goals would be maybe you want to travel together. Maybe your health goals are tied back to your family because you want to stay in good enough shape to be able to play with your kids and grandkids as they're growing up. Maybe there's something about like home and what home wants to feel like. Something about, you know, maybe your relationship with your parents is broken. And so your goal is to, you know, get your ass in therapy and figure that out so that your kids can have a relationship with their grandparents, you know? So it really just comes down to what's really meaningful for people. And, you know, if you're looking back on your life, what would you like to see? And then getting creative about how to make that happen.
Do you think like the process of doing the things that you had just spoke about really becomes almost a therapy process?
I mean, I think it definitely can. It can be healing. Is that what you mean?
Sure. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think anytime that somebody assumes the driver's seat in their own life and starts to make intentional decisions and intentionally create the world that they're living in and the life that they're living every day, I think that's hugely therapeutic for anyone.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of what we practice in yoga too. You know, you practice it on your mat and then you practice it in your vision and goals. And then, you know, pretty soon, if you're consistent, then that mindset starts to kind of become more and more default. You know,
yeah. Is this where you feel like you have found your yoga?
I think that this has given me new insight into why my yoga practice is important or what it's really doing for me, if that makes sense. It made my yoga matter.
How so?
Because I think one of the most amazing things about yoga is that we get to learn things in our body and feel them in our body, and that the same concepts will apply out in the world. And like when we know something without a doubt, we even say like, I know it in my bones, you know. Embodied knowledge is different from just understanding a concept intellectually. So the way that I would learn things about my body on the mat, and then I'd be in a situation in life and I'd be wrestling with it and thinking about it and analyzing it, I'd be like, oh my God, this is the same thing as this is the same pattern. This is the same thing that I was thinking about on my mat in terms of like this posture. And so it, you know, doing a lot of this work has taken my yoga practice from something that felt good and that made me a better person and was like a positive part of my life and turned it into this essential factor, this like oh, I need to have this perspective of learning things in my body, because that's going to help me connect dots out in my life and in my work in other ways.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Huge lessons right there.
Yeah.
So, what are you doing nowadays? You know, I know that you have stepped away from Lululemon, and you've kind of moved into, you know, I guess your own business. Mm-hmm. But why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. So my day to day looks like it's a lot of creative work on the back end right now. I'm developing a course that's going to be available in a few months. So that takes up a lot of time. I'm taking all of this kind of self-development knowledge and packaging it in a way that I can really help more people. So it's a lot of creative stuff on the back end mixed in with jumping on Zoom calls to talk with people, clients, and whatever they're working on, you know, and that's unique for each of them. But so it's a lot of that. So my day is just like creative work, working with people, and then I'm really enjoying right now having like a stable home life. I've moved so much, and right now I'm really rooted where I'm at. I've got like the boyfriend and the dog and the house, and it's great. Like literally taking my dog to the park in the morning is part of my spiritual practice right now, I feel. So wow. It's like being at home and then like doing creative work is that's it at the moment.
Yeah.
But everything that I do is, you know, through the lens of leadership too. So it's like, I don't know. I think that the workplace is a particularly cool place to focus on, because we all spend so much time there. So I think the idea, talking to people about how to lead well and how to lead well from an integrated place in themselves, you know, it's really hard to be a great leader through the vision and goals of a company if you don't even know what your vision and goals are for yourself. So it's taking all of that inner work, and then how do you lead others in a way that is really nourishing for them and helps them grow and develop? And then, you know, hopefully we can halt some of these cycles of just bad behavior with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. And so you've seen recently that you are doing more leadership stuff, or do you consider leadership and goal setting, do you feel like that's the same thing? I guess I see them as different.
I mean, it's kind of all, it all relates. And the thing is that what a person initially comes to me for doesn't always end up being the thing that they really need. So I'll have someone come to me saying, hey, I'm not, you know, I have this job, I'm not going to be there anymore in a few months, and I need to figure out what the next move is for my career. Like, they're really looking for that more business, like leadership minded approach. And then through conversation, we actually end up getting to the fact that they have no idea what they even want for themselves. They've been following somebody else's trail the entire time they've been working. So then it's really back to the self. And then once you spend a little time in that realm, then it's like, okay, great. Now, how are you showing up for everyone else? Whether that's just your family, or it's your team at work, or you're a startup founder and you're showing up for hundreds of people, you know? So they toggle back and forth. They're really related, more related than people would like to believe. People really want to think that they can be great as a manager and they can get the promotion and keep moving up and not have to ever confront those things about themselves. And you can do that for a little while, but it's a house of cards. So it's all related.
It's not how it works.
Yeah. It's like, good luck with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been there before for sure. So how do people find you? If they wanted to start this process, like how would they find you?
At my website or on Instagram, I'm Mikayla K. Roberts everywhere. And they can reach out via my website or just send me a message on Instagram and we can connect that way. I've got like different packages for one-on-one work. So you can kind of have a sense of what the kind of arc looks like through the work, or we can just meet whenever you want to meet.
Yeah. Well, it's been amazing to, you know, to watch this whole process kind of unfold, because I do feel like you're kind of a leader in what you're doing right now. And you're someone who I'm paying attention to, that's for sure. I really, you know, all the things that you've done for me and all the goal setting and showing up to class, you know, like, I mean, I think when you walked in, there was only five people in the room, and you know, now that's not the story.
We were a small, scrappy bunch at the time.
It was really scrappy bunch.
Well, thank you. I mean, your teaching has been so definitely one of the major forces that like set me in the direction that I'm on. And I'm so happy for you and what you're doing. I feel like when I talk to you, when I see you, there's a lot of joy that comes out of you. You're not this like super bubbly, expressive person, but you can tell that you are like, you are solid with who you are and the life that you're living. And it's just so powerful. So I'm so happy for you.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show and sharing your heart and sharing your path. And, you know, like I said, it's been amazing to watch. And so I think this will be really awesome for the listeners to kind of see the work that I've done and maybe also ask the question of like, should they also be doing the work as well?
Yeah.
So thanks, Michaela.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. If you want more information about Ashtanga Yoga, visit ashtangayogacolumbus.com. You can also check out my website, which is taylorhuntyoga.com. See you guys next time.